You're listening to Bondi Tunes, international broadcasting around the world, and we welcome our listeners in Australia and New Zealand on FM. Yes, FM. Remember that?
Who'd have thunk?
I've got our three North American correspondents on the line. Ronan Seagrave is in Winnipeg, Canada. I like to call that the Peg. Dawn Drost is in Orlando, Florida, surrounded by some very strange, colourful people. And Thomas Booker in San Antonio de Bayar in Texas.
Yeehaw!
Okay, now we've got that done. Let's go to Canada first, Ronan. Now, Maxime Bernier is head of the very right-wing, the People's Party. Is that right? And what mischievousness has she been up to?
Well, he was initially a conservative. And
oh, it's
actually
a man.
It's a man, yes, very much so, from Quebec. So he initially ran for the leadership of the Federal Conservative Party a few years back and didn't win and sort of resigned in a huff. And set up, you know, his own party much further to the right called the People's Party of Canada. And he's ran himself in two elections and got nowhere. Now he's having a third go here in Manitoba with a by-election that's come up because an MP is retiring. So, but he hit the headlines a couple of years ago in Manitoba where he, of course, was opposed to all kind of public health restrictions and orders in respect of the COVID-19 pandemic. So he decided to organise freedom rallies across Manitoba, but he was intercepted by the police on a couple of occasions. Mm. And it's taken sort of 2 years for this wind its way into the court, but he ended up pleading guilty to a couple of public health order violations and was ordered to pay over $2,000 in fines. But he is entering a race for a conservative seat, which is very much seen as a safe seat. It's a pretty rural Manitoba, Portage la Zarre. But he is obviously causing some additional frisson to the race, which would normally just be a sort of a dull sort of riding by-election. He's adding a certain frisson. It may or may not be worrying the federal conservatives to some degree, but the majority is so large they should still hold the riding fairly comfortably. But he is a very divisive figure in Canadian politics. He doesn't have, as I say, he doesn't have any MPs in the federal parliament. He just sort of goes around and stirs up really a whole lot of hate. And
well, Donald, was he in any way associated with the trucker strike they had?
Oh, yeah, he was obviously fully in favour of all of that. Not that he was in that visibly and publicly around it, but he was a supporter of all of that. And, you know, he's just generally people just sort of associate him with some kind of sort of grudge mission, that he was so sort of enraged that the Federal Conservative Party didn't see his own genius and didn't elect him leader, that he's been sort of on a crusade to sort of, they're not really conservatives, I am the only real conservative, and that type of thing.
How far right is what's it called, the People's Party? Is it the right, as right as you can get in Canada?
Pretty much, Henry. Yeah, no, it's pretty much out there in terms of right wing, the sort of libertarian, I guess, sort of tinge to it. But you know, it is associated with sort of hardline anti-immigration policies.
Obviously, it's very COVID. Very Trumpian, I would probably.
Very similar kind of Trumpian agenda. But what he has failed so far to do in the last sort of 5-6 years is make any kind of electoral breakthrough. It remains to be seen whether he will, but the opinion polls are not showing that and are not showing him taking any federal seats in the next election. At the moment, the Conservatives are on about 40%, sort of the Liberals, you know, 26-27%, the NDP 25%, and then sort of the Greens and the rest after that. He's down there at about 2-3%.
Does he have a rusted on kind of following, like, you know, people who,
oh God, yeah,
he can do anything, just like Trump supporters, he can kind of do anything he likes and they'll still love him? Yeah
pretty much, you know, pardon the expression, we redneck, you know, sort of
we call them bogans in Australia.
Yeah, rednecks.
So Ron, that's mainly Western Canada too, right?
Yeah, mainly Western Canada. I mean, this type of stuff doesn't play well in Ontario. It doesn't play particularly well in British Columbia. So he focuses his energies, if you like, in Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, the kind of, and particularly the rural areas. I mean, there wouldn't be much enthusiasm for any of this in downtown Winnipeg, but particularly in sort of rural areas and areas of Canada that are traditionally very conservative, but have just traditionally voted for mainstream conservative parties.
Okay, I want to move on to the wildfires in northern Canada, in Alberta, I do believe. This has been going on for a long time, Ronan.
Yes, I mean, what's alarming everybody is the scale of this, and we've already seen more hectares burned, and we're only in May, than the entirety of the entire fire season last summer. So what's happening in Canada, Henry, is we have a weather phenomenon known as a heat dome, mm-hmm. which is over, you know, northern Alberta, northern BC, parts of northern Saskatchewan. It's not near me. I'm too far east from it. But it's driving temperatures that are sort of 15 degrees above normal for this time of the year. And this has been combined with sort of high winds. So there are 86 wildfires currently burning in Alberta. Jeez. Which
that's I think crazy. About 27. And it's not even, like, it's not even summer yet.
No.
How many acres has it burned so far?
Over 600,000, yeah.
God.
Which was this more is, than the entirety of the wildfire season last summer. So for the entire, more has burned already than the entire summer last year.
But it's a similar phenomenon to what happened in Northern California.
So now it's sort of spreading to northern BC, where there's all sorts of sort of alerts going on, and they've announced a campfire ban and that type of thing. So the view is that it's going to get worse before it gets better.
I mean, if you're going into summer, this is not good news. You know what I mean?
How heavily populated is the area? Are a lot of people needing to be evacuated? How many animals are in the area? I mean, is this going to be as devastating to any native wildlife like it was to the Australia firefighters, wildfires a number of years ago?
Yes.
Certainly some native wildlife would have been killed on this, no doubt. Yes, there are sort of cattle farms in the area.
Mm. Always worry about the animals, you know. It's almost like I worry about the animals more than the people.
Run, but if animals lose their habitat, they have nowhere to go.
Yeah, Dawn, you mentioned the wildfires in Australia, koala bears. I mean, it's just heartbreaking, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd have to say that in some cases, perhaps with coyotes, there mightn't be that much weeping and wailing of tears, but it's mainly, John is right, it's mainly rural communities, agricultural communities that have been evacuated. I think to date there have been about 8 hospitals, literally small ones, where they've had to decant patients, lots of sort of long-term care facilities where they're sort of moving people about. You know, there are people starting to move back to areas where the fires have cleared, and in some cases they're just coming back to burnt out houses. So what's really interesting also about this is that this is all occurring against the backdrop of a provincial election, which is going to happen on the 29th of May. So it's kind of really weird. A lot of kind of more robust, you know, type campaigning. I mean, there are a lot of attack ads on local TV, but the kind of more robust campaigning that you might have would have played out normally has just not been happening. Both the Premier and the opposition leader have been sort of running around with flak jackets trying to sort of look serious and important. So it's hard to say how this will play out or what impact, if any, it will have on the election.
Okay, now we must move on. Let's go to the United States of America. And for you, Dawn, Donald Trump cancels outdoor rally in Des Moines, citing possible severe weather. The scheduled appearance had drawn additional attention because it was scheduled on the same day as likely presidential contender Florida Governor Ron DeSantis was in the state for events in Sui Center in Cedar Rapids. Donald Trump cancels outdoor rally because of severe weather. When the hell did Donald Trump ever care about the weather, Dawn?
I can only imagine if it's going to cause his fake tan to run or beautiful hair, maybe. Hair to flap in the
front, like Giuliani,
so that we can
like
see
Giuliani.
His yes. So he'll look like he's melting, like Giuliani did when he did one of his rambling pressers, or when we get one of those fantastic pictures we've seen of him getting onto Air Force One, where his hair just blows straight up because bizarre. It's been sprayed to within an inch of its life.
Yeah, you know, Thomas, maybe he was afraid there would be no people there. I'm just saying.
That's more than likely.
Yes.
I think it was well, he was afraid that the crowd wouldn't show up, but he was also afraid of, I think, being upstaged by DeSantis. He couldn't choose his battle there. So, but yeah, I think it was the crowd size. They were expecting him not to be there. And so he was trying to avoid that humiliation, as I understand it.
Do you think that DeSantis has a hope in hell with this? I mean, you know, I look at these figures, the polls, yes. And it looks like, you know, Trump is so far ahead. It's like the worse crap he does, the more popular he becomes.
Yes, yes, that's demagoguery. And, you know, DeSantis is not, he's from hell, Henry. He's not, I've been hearing the horrible things. As a matter of fact, some of those articles you sent me brought to mind how they're gutting. There was one university, it was a college, they had their new college, which was a progressive educational institution that he attacked, and he used it as a whipping boy or a scapegoat for the intrusion of liberal ideas into Florida and wokeism. So he's actually gone in and gutted he's ripped out all of the administrators and professors, and he's actually stuffing it with their own little puppets to
he
run
the
school.
He installed their own board.
Yes. And,
much
and
like
it's
he did with Disney.
And he wants to make it a Christian or Christian-based organization. Oh, it's just appalling.
It was sickening. It was one of the only colleges in the state for kids with autism spectrum disorder and yes. other special needs. It was one of the only places where they could go where they had curriculum and learning styles that were as varied and diverse as they are neurologically. And he gutted everything that made that place special for these students, and those students fought back.
From Sydney, Australia, Henry O'Donovan on Bondi Tunes International.
If you just joined us, I'm with Ronan Seagrave in Winnipeg, Canada, Dawn Drost in Orlando, Florida, and Thomas Booker in San Antonio de Bay.
So while Donald Trump is evil and a demagogue, he is stupid.
Okay.
And he has no way to avoid telling everybody exactly what he's done.
I'd like to.
Ron DeSantis is evil and methodical.
He's smarter.
Is much smarter.
Yeah.
And he will make sure that everybody suffers equally. And he will make sure that everybody suffers quickly and swiftly that speaks out against him, or he feels emasculates him in even the slightest way.
Now let's take a listen to some of the supporters of Donald Trump, courtesy of the David Pakman Show. Take a listen.
God.
Iowa's an important state. We've got DeSantis in the same state today, but you guys chose to be here for President Trump. What was the decision-making process there?
You want to go first?
I think all of the attacks against President Trump that are just totally unprecedented, you know, the legal allegations against him, I just feel obligated knowing how much President Trump has stood up for me and has stood up for all of these Americans. I feel obligated to come out here and show my support for him.
As they say, promises made, promises kept, and Trump is the only president ever that has traded his wealth for his country and not his country for his wealth.
Mr. Trump, you are a true American hero. We love you. You are the true American badass that we have been waiting for, and we thank you. You're like our father, our protector, and we love you. Thank you.
But my dad hasn't received a cancer bill in over 5 years, and it's been paid 100% by a guy in New York, and that can only be President Donald J. Trump, and my dad's cancer-free.
Women for Trump. Are you deterred at all by any of the recent allegations against him, or are you just supporting Trump through and through because you know that he's an honest man?
We think that it's a lie, and yeah. And he's a good guy. They just don't like it because he's standing up for America.
They have demonized him because he's the one standing up for we the people. He's the only president, the only person who has ever stood up for we the people. He's on our side, and that's why he's been demonized, because all the systems that have been in control are rigged.
Okay, interesting, Vox Pops. Trump paid for my dad's cancer treatment.
Oh, yeah. Who is yeah? that guy?
Not of a sound mind, anyway. I
Sorry, Ronan?
He's not of a sound mind. I mean, no. Look, I think Trump is ahead, but there is whatever's left of it, the kind of sane part of the Republican Party that knows that if he's the nominee, that we're probably just going to have a rerun of the previous elections, that this man is in no way appealing beyond the base, and that is just not good enough to be elected president of the United States.
So, I don't think it's going to happen, is it, Ronan?
Well, that depends, obviously, on all these court cases and whether it really does just hit a point where even for the Republican Party, this is just too much. So I still think the nominee, and there's a very good chance the nominee still could be Ron DeSantis in those set of circumstances. But there were a number of senators who spoke out after the civil rape case where Trump was found to, in a civil case, just for lawyers listening, was found to have probably committed sexual assault. That they were speaking out saying, look, we've got to come to our senses here, that just beyond the base, and middle class female voters, heading, and they vote in very large numbers, are just not going to stomach this man. And whether Joe Biden's 84, 86 or 102, the likelihood of a defeat is most likely. And so it'll just be interesting to see whether this does play out in terms of whether it's legal issues or some, it seems far off at the moment, but some coming to the senses of those voting in Republican primaries and looking at an alternative that's a more viable candidate.
I want to mention some of the, what you just heard, dear listener. This guy says he traded his wealth for his country. Now, for goodness sake, he earned $1.6 billion during his 4 years as president.
He's the ultimate grifter, Donald Trump. He screwed the state for as much money as he can get out of it.
And they love him. They love him. Another one, another comment in that audio bite that we took. Women for Trump. I always, in the 2016 election, after he talked about, in that coming out of that van and the awful comments he said about women using revolting language, and yet a lot of women still vote for him. And, in that Vox Pop, there's a woman saying, women for Trump, and they got these T-shirts with women for Trump. Mm-hmm. I don't get this. What is wrong with these people?
Adolf Hitler had, there are some films of him and his mass rallies where he's partying by, and they show women in the crowd who are swooning over him and, gleam in their eye and just the complete fall. It was almost to the point that it was a sexual thing. And this is Adolf Hitler.
But the thing is, the thing about Adolf Hitler was that he actually hypnotized his masses. In the way, very similar to what Trump is doing.
Yes, they sound like they're pretty much zombies under Trump. Yeah. Yes, it certainly
it's
is remarkable.
It's amazing, isn't it? And also, they keep saying Trump has been demonized. We will talk about we'll talk about CNN later. What about the E. Jean Carroll sexual assault trial? They want to a certain extent, but I'm kind of sad that Ronan. I'm kind of sad that they didn't actually get the rape thing done. Where they could say he raped.
I think the issues there would have been just sort of the sheer length of time and lack of witnesses, but. I think what really cooked, first of all, E. Jean Carroll was very compelling. And the fact that she was able to produce witnesses of people that she had told at the time. But the thing that really cooked his goose was that, you know, he kept saying, "Well, she's not my type," and really.
But he said he didn't know her.
Then he mistook her for Marla Maples.
In the photograph.
not your type, Donald. I mean, you know, there are obviously many other women who've made actually very strikingly similar allegations about sort of groping and sort of pinning women horribly against the wall and assaulting them. So, you know, all of these allegations are, you know, sound incredibly similar. It was a civil case, and we see, you know, Ms. Coward was awarded, I think, over $8 million. Trump would appeal that. But it's just the start of, you know, further cases that we're expecting. The next one's going to be the Georgia one around.
Yeah, but just with E. Jean Carroll, he's gonna challenge that, isn't he?
Yeah, he'll appeal it.
We'll
see what happens in appeal. But the fact that this ruling was made in the first place, I mean, very, very sadly, and from the clips of those people, I would this have any kind of impact on it? Probably not. I mean, Donald Trump once said, you know, he could walk down Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and they'd still vote for him, you know?
I think legally
his more serious matters include the sort of, you know, vote tampering and trying to change the vote in Georgia, that's likely to result in an indictment. We've got the sort of documents, the classified documents in Mar-a-Lago. We've got all the tax business in New York. So I think Donald is going to be extremely busy over the coming months on the legal side, and we just have to see what happens. I think the chances of a conviction in Georgia are actually relatively high, but by the time it gets to that, it might even be beyond the election.
Thomas, can I just ask you, if it wasn't Trump, if it was a regular folk, a regular man like me or you, would you get done for rape? Like, I'm trying to decipher the difference between a president.
If you're just an ordinary citizen, you don't have access to the mega bucks, sure, and you... you don't have
the lawyers,
but you can afford the lawyers, and you can afford a whole. There's a whole support group behind him, you know, of PR and everybody else going disinformation. You'd call it disinformation. I think the one thing that Trump has that's coming up in the back door that I found is really interesting is this the Rudy Giuliani's case. He's being sued by his former assistant, who's claiming
I don't want to go into Giuliani just like yet, because we've got a whole piece on him. You mentioned Governor DeSantis signing a bill funding for diversity programs in Florida public colleges. Mm-hmm. I just want to take an audio grab of this. Take a listen.
This has basically been used as a veneer to impose an ideological agenda, and that is wrong. And in fact, if you look at the way this has actually been implemented across the country, DEI is better viewed as standing for discrimination, exclusion, and indoctrination.
He sounds so confident, doesn't he, Dawn?
It's all a front. As soon as anybody asks him a question that challenges him in even the slightest way, he becomes very confrontational, almost pouty, like a whiny toddler.
He sounds very arrogant.
He's extremely arrogant.
He is.
Extremely arrogant. And that is why I'm fairly confident that if Trump shows himself to be in even the slightest bit of legal trouble, either between Georgia or Jack Smith's grand jury investigation, he will become the nominee, but he will prove to be just as fragile, but much more vindictive, because he has turned us into a flaming pile of dog poop
in four years. How well did he? I've asked you this before, but I can't remember. How well did he get back into power, or continue power? Like, what were the?
Unfortunately, he had a tremendous margin. There are only two Democratic hubs in the state of Florida. The entire rest of the state is Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in one of them.
Oh, dear.
So it is...
Just like Thomas.
Yeah.
So it is... it was not hard for him to regain power at all. It was something like 66% of the vote went to him.
Oh, my
God. I mean, it was really disheartening. So he was... he seemed concerned, actually, right up to about an hour into election night. And then he started to party.
What's the opposition? Who's the opposition leader?
That ran against him?
Yeah.
It was Nikki Fried. She is the department, the head of the Department of Agriculture. Mm-hmm. She goes around and puts her stickers on all of our gas pumps.
How very nice of her. Ronan,
to say that they've been inspected.
Ronan, from a Canadian perspective, I'm always asking you this question on our broadcast, but what do they think, what do they think of all this madness that's going on in the disunited States of America? Do they just go, well, you know, they're just down the road, but we don't care?
There's a bit of that, but I think, you know, certainly a political level, you know, there would be concern. I think what Canada always wants in the United States is an administration and a president that it can do business with. So, you know, there was
it does affect Canada.
It does. Well, of course, trade and the border and you know, defense and NATO cooperation and Ukraine and things like that. Those things are important to Canada now. It's not that everything is sweetness and light with Joe in terms of some disagreements around trade and things like that, but he's somebody we can do business with. You know, that there's the rules in terms of how governments behave with each other are very much in play, as opposed to, you know, very, very chaotic situation when Trump was in power. Nobody, unless you really are a diehard Maxine Bernier supporter, but nobody in Canada wants a return to that. We like stability. We want a partner and a friend in the United States in terms of the president that we can do business, that relations are normal, stable, constructive, where we may agree to disagree, but it's all done in a very civil way. And yes, I mean, I think there's very little doubt that majority of Canadians would very much like Joe Biden to be re-elected in the election of 2024.
Would Canada be concerned about the budget crisis, the budget negotiations?
Absolutely. Yes,
they're going to be the ones. If we default on our budget, the budget ceiling, then that's going to be rippling through the rest of the planet.
It's going to ripple through the rest of the world.
You're
telling me.
The old saying in Canada, you know, America sneezes, Canada gets a cold. So this would, not just in Canada, this would be a major shock.
It could
shock
be worse. You get a cold, Mexico gets diarrhea.
Beijing flu. I mean, I think it's almost ridiculous that this is happening, but that has to do with some of the ridiculous people who are in the House of Representatives to be
playing
Russian roulette with the debt ceiling in a way that is totally pointless and unnecessary is absolutely insane politics. And one has to hope that some sort of deal will happen, because I think it has to happen, because the alternative is too horrific. But this is not grown up politics. This is childish politics, posturing, but actually really playing Russian roulette with ordinary Americans, because they are the ones who would really suffer here in the event of a default.
Yeah, but our news media has completely failed to bring that to the attention of the public. So this is all going on with an essentially clueless public down here in the United States. They don't know enough to be outraged.
Well, they're watching Fox.
That's probably true,
right? I'm going to talk about CNN in a moment.
Your good friend around the planet on iTunes International.
Yes.
Now, if you've just joined us, this is...
This,
I've got to do station ID, folks. This is...
We'll get over it, Henry. Go ahead.
This is Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting around the world, and we welcome our listeners on FM in Australia and New Zealand. Ronan Seagrave is in Winnipeg, Canada. Dawn Dross is in Orlando, Florida. And Thomas Booker is in San Antonio de Bahia. Yeah! In Texas.
Hang on a second, Henry.
Oh. Listen, I've got to go out after this interview. I've got a friend over from Hong Kong, and he wants me to go and get pissed with him.
Yeah, wet the whistle there,
I'll
fella.
Be pissed before I get there. okay, now, Thomas, you mentioned this earlier on. Now, on a lighter note, Giuliani, who's always drunk, a former associate of Giuliani sued him Monday for alleged abuse of power and harassment, claiming he hired her off the books for sexual favors.
But it's bigger than that. I mean, she's got that going, and that's a given.
There's more stuff going.
Oh, yeah.
What's the business of selling something and Trump gets half of it and he gets the other half?
Yes, that was their little money scheme that was going on. She basically had...
I thought you meant the woman, and I was like, no! Oh, no!
No, she was an aide. Yeah, she was an aide to him, and one of the things that's turned out is that she shared her email with him, her email account. Mm-hmm. So she actually has copies of all the little emails, messaging going back and forth. And they're in her account. She can make them available because shared. And I just found this out. I listened to this lady in Massachusetts. Her name's Heather Cox Richardson. And she was just detailing all the nefarious scheming things going on. And also the other fact is that Rudy Giuliani was a sexual predator, and apparently it was very abusive and assaulting, and essentially raped her on several occasions. But the main thing that she's got is the dirt on him about the email account.
He's a nasty piece of work, isn't he?
He is a nasty piece of work. Yes,
he sure is. He's terrible. He's just a hideous man
with no. I mean, I read some of the allegations she made. They're absolutely horrific. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, I just want
to wore a bikini and this time go to work naked. Yeah. And I mean, it's just absolutely horrific. But those emails, I'm sure, are dynamite. Because if ever there's a man on the planet who sent emails he shouldn't have, totally and utterly drunk, it would be Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, well, see, that's what happens when you
have believe that,
too many drinks. Now, just to clear up, this whole business of selling stuff, it was actually presidential pardons for $2 million bucks, with the money to be split between himself and the issuer of the pardon, which, of course,
and the money sent back to Trump. That was
Donald
sent
Trump.
Back to Trump to the pardon, yes.
And I'm a bit confused about this. Who's Noelle Dunphy?
She has a
lawsuit against Giuliani filed, and she says, or the lawsuit, if you like, he was okay. Is she the woman who put this, gave him this information about this presidential?
Yeah, I'm looking at the article and Reuters. There's an article about her and about the case, Noelle Dunphy, and she's describing how he abused her. Shortly after she was hired, he began pouncing her and pawing her and sexually assaulting her, and she said, "So she's the one who's got the goods on him." I mean, apparently, with the emails, but she also had some other juicy information that she was able to share.
Right.
So I don't know where this is going to go because
I'm sure the FBI might be taking an interest. But
I think the FBI is involved. Yes, they're very much interested in it. Because there has something to do with some shenanigans they had going over to Italy. And they were trying to follow up. I remember that stupid nonsense they were doing about Biden's laptop, that thing. But they were they went to Italy and they were trying to dig up the information about that. And the Russian, there was also the whole thing about the Russian involvement in the elections, which is, there's plenty of juice on that. But what happened was when they were talking to the Italians, they're the ones who said, we don't really have anything on Biden, but we do have a lot of information about your President Trump. And apparently they had all kinds of, indictable information. This again was the thing that Heather Cox Richardson was talking about this evening. that there's all this juice there that they basically sat on. Of course, Trump and everybody else, but they were looking for the dirt that they needed for to smear out the Bidens. But they do have pointers towards the Russian meddling in the election, and also the other juice on something that Trump was up to in Italy, previous questionable deals and money changing and whatever else. So that should be interesting. Once again, it's all preliminary. It's vapor right now. But I think the FBI is very much interested in pursuing that, and the Justice Department, the Attorney General, and everything.
Did you know last week the sort of first congressional review or sort of investigation into the Hunter Biden laptop was published?
They found
absolutely nothing in respect of any payments received by Joe Biden or anything that Joe Biden may have done that even one would think was slightly questionable. I think the Hunter Biden story is a much more simple one about somebody who lost his brother and went completely and utterly off the rails in respect of drink and drugs. And
what?
You know, even at one point having a relationship with the widow of his brother.
Who's saying all this stuff?
Well, I mean, Hunter Biden has admitted a lot of this.
His son. Sorry, I'm getting confused here.
Yeah, Hunter's.
Well, that's understandable.
Oh, no, this is not Joe Biden.
No, Joe Biden.
Oh, no, God, no.
No, his son.
Joe's never even taken a drink in his life. like Trump, the one thing they have in common, they both never drank. But Hunter's life kind of collapsed with sort of the death of Bo Biden.
That was his brother, right?
That role in Ukraine he probably shouldn't have taken on, and that shouldn't have happened, but that doesn't mean that Joe Biden was benefiting from it. Mm-hmm. But his life essentially fell apart in a spiral of drink and drugs and cavorting with sort of escorts and that type of thing, having a relationship with his brother's widow, fathering a child, I think, with a stripper or something. That was something there. And he has now remarried. He's gone into painting. He sort of straightened up. He accompanied Joe Biden with his wife on his recent state visit to Ireland. So I think that's really the truth of it. And I think, you know, if Congress wants to waste its time going through this a dark period in this man's life, where all I've seen on text messages is sort of concerning text messages from his father. But I think the idea that Joe Biden was getting payments from Ukraine and payments from China is just a fantasy.
Well, you know, this is
a smear campaign from the get-go.
This is very dirty politics, because this young man is not a politician, and they're just using him to get at Biden.
His dad.
Totally. There's a sort of, you know, Billy Carter or Roger Clinton. You know, it's just very sad and very unfortunate. And you know, Hunter Biden has done things that I'm sure now that he very bitterly regrets, and he did them under the influence of hard drugs and not, you know, in mental health issues and all of that, and addiction issues.
I just want to play another audio grab, which was actually 11 months ago. Liz Cheney speaking. Take a listen.
You will also hear testimony that President Trump rejected the advice of his campaign experts on election night, and instead followed the course recommended by an apparently inebriated Rudy Giuliani to just claim he won and insist that the vote counting stop, to falsely claim everything was fraudulent. He falsely told the American people that the election was not legitimate. In his words, quote, a major fraud. Millions of Americans believed him.
Were you in the White House residence during the sort of past midnight into the early morning hours of November 4th?
Yes, sure. It went over beyond midnight, yes.
Do you remember Rudy Giuliani being at the White House on election night and into the early hours the next morning?
He was looking to talk to the president, and it was suggested instead that he come talk to several of us down off the map room.
You said that you had heard that Mr. Giuliani wanted to talk to the president, and then he was directed your way. Did you end up talking to Mr. Giuliani when he was directed your way?
I did.
I'm a bit confused. Why does it take that long to get this far, if you know what I mean? Silence.
It does. Well, it does. I mean, this issue emerged, the laptop, it emerged during the last election. And then there was sort of an investigation to whether the laptop really was Hunter Biden's, and there was sort of media restrictions or whatever on it. I think the laptop is Hunter Biden's, but there is, having the laptop has now been examined, there is nothing on it that suggests in any way, and the language in this report was really clear, in any way that suggests any kind of impropriety on the part of Joe Biden. There's just nothing there about payments being made, whether from the board that Hunter Biden was on, and I think that was a mistake. I don't think he should have been on that board, but that's not a hanging offense. But there's no evidence that Joe Biden personally was benefiting from that in terms of business dealings in China. There's absolutely no evidence whatsoever that any kind of payments were being made to Joe Biden. I think what he did do, and I think it's probably understood, you know, my father's the former vice president, my father's this, that's an entirely different matter of him talking to people like that about his father than Joe Biden getting directly involved in receiving payments. And I think this is where this is going to slowly die. It could become another Benghazi where endless inquiries and nothing is ever found.
And Hillary's emails too.
That's exactly what it's going to become. They don't ever want it to die.
No, but there's just, you know, you could say lots of things about Joe Biden, and he's had a career of 40, 50 years at this point. But I don't believe the man is corrupt. You can disagree with positions he took or policies or things he said and done.
But they're political things, you know.
They're things. I don't believe the man's corrupt at all.
No. Well, now let's talk about CNN, shall we? Whatever happened, CNN?
The Cloud News Network. No, sure.
They've been bought over. They've been the person who's the CEO of CNN now I've just learned is a right wing conservative, and he's basically going to take the network in a different direction.
Do you know who he is?
I don't know his name, but I was listening to some commentary about him, and he was. And it's not necessarily that he did that stunt with Trump, it was just basically to try to get the network irritating enough to be recognized.
On that note, CNN has taken on some Bill Maher, for example, who's center-left, I would say, although he attacks the left as much as he attacks the right.
No, he's very good at that, and I appreciate it.
They're taking people
I attack
on.
The left.
And just on a side note, Don Lemon has been fired from CNN. I'm sure himself and Chris Cuomo, who he was good mates with, they live down the road from each other. Chris would go to his house and have barbecues, and then Chris got done, as we all know. And now Don Lemon, Chris is on some weird cable station, Chris Cuomo. I can't think of the name of it. Anyway.
No doubt, Don will be there soon. But yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. I think he's going to end up on that station. It's interesting to see what's happened to CNN. And I think you're right, Ronan. I think they're moving to the right. And I think it's possible that Fox News are shitting bricks, because that town hall, as they call it, they first of all, it was all conservative people in the audience.
They were selected to be Trump supporters. They went out and solicited people who were.
And what about the questions? Oh my God!
He's on News Nation.
Thank you.
Chris Cuomo was on News
Nation. Yes. Thank you. Yeah, News that's Nation. Right. Thank you, Don.
And he talks to that horrible man Bill O'Reilly, who is not on News Nation, but he interviews him via satellite almost every night, and Bill says Cuomo. he treats him like crap, but he Cuomo knows that this brings in listeners. CNN moving to the right concerns me, but MSNBC must be having a party.
Well, I don't know about that.
They've got their niche. They've got their niche. They've got their identity, and the other, of course, big news or not, but our old friend Tucker Carlson,
yes,
he's decided to launch. He's not going to $2 news network. He's decided he's going to do his own show on Twitter.
Wow.
He can speak out even more and say what he really thinks. Oh, my God.
They're all doing the same thing. But, in the case of Cuomo and Don Lemon, they're kind of forced into the $2 networks.
But they're two men who just spend half their days looking at the mirror and admiring themselves.
I know, they're so pretty, so special.
Don Lemon, almost insufferable, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, I never liked Don Lemon. They just, I heard a story about Don Lemon in a pub, and I don't know if it's real or not, but I wouldn't be surprised if it is. And some guy said something derogatory to Don, and Don hit him. He just hit him in the pub. Oh, such gentlemen in politics. Just getting back to the CNN town hall, I noticed that the questions were stupid for a start. That poor woman, what's her name? Does anyone know who was doing...
Oh, God.
She hadn't...
So out of her depth.
She was
brand new to this. To the... let's see.
I didn't recognize her.
No, neither did I. Did you say she was brand new?
Yeah, get Anderson Cooper or somebody in there who could have done something. But yeah.
I don't think he wanted to challenge Trump. She did try to. She did try to try to delve into some of his answers and clarify them, but of course Trump's obfuscation. And then he also made some snide remarks toward her, some kind of...
His usual remark, you're a nasty woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about the woman who's... What did he say about the woman who's suing him? He said something awful about her.
He's a nasty woman too, as well. But I think that was even
worse. And that's all Trump knows how to call... The only way he talks with nasty women. He doesn't have a vocabulary enough to have any more in-depth smear than
he's not very intelligent.
Caitlin Collins is her name.
Thank you. That poor woman. Like, she was surrounded by an audience of extreme right-wing audience.
Yes. The whole room was hostile.
How did that happen? How did it... I mean, normally with these town halls,
they bring the big stars in. Yeah.
Well, they bring balance and, independent voters, maybe some Democrats, some homeless. Just how the hell did it happen?
But they said they organized it. They organized.
Yeah, the reason they organized it, and basically they wanted to have it to be a town hall for Republicans. It was a town hall. It wasn't a town hall for citizens in general. They were saying it was going to be Trump supporters and Republicans, and that way Trump would be there in a friendly audience, and he could rant and rave and be admired.
That's anything, but yeah.
So that was the whole point of it. It was allegedly to be a town hall where his supporters could ask him questions or get clarified, but it turned out to be a Trump pep rally, which it lasted an hour because Trump was being admired and they were cooing and cawing all over him. But then he was at the same time being a complete jerk.
Dawn Drost in Florida, what are your thoughts on all this? Oh, Dawn's tired now.
No, she's
thinking, how can I answer this question?
I did not watch the town hall that they did. I just saw little clips of it.
Me too.
And I did read that the audience was not made up entirely of Republicans, as we had originally thought, but how they had been told that they were not allowed to react in any way other than a completely loving and coddled.
When Trump said rude things, they all went, yeah,
yes, clapped. They loved it.
Because they were supposed to. That was it. They were told they had to. And I thought that was ridiculous because he can't handle anything other than a group that feels completely builds him up and pads him like the diaper that he wears every minute of every day. And
he's a narcissistic
the fact that he
personality.
Was presented with a list of people who were going to do the interview, and he chose the woman who had once been on Fox News only as a talking head, someone who has never once had a show, someone who had never done an interview, and someone who had never in their lives asked a question of anybody, let alone are you talking about president.
Are you talking about the lady who...
Yes, who did his interview.
She's never done an interview before?
She's never done an interview. Gosh. And this was her first interview ever. And they had 2 weeks.
Why did they do that?
Because he was allowed to choose who he wanted, and he chose her. Because
she's weak in his eyes, right?
Yes, and they had her squirreled away in a hotel for 2 weeks.
I didn't know
prepping her.
Oh, for goodness sake.
See, this is why you saved me for last for this, because I know all of this. So, she was squirreled away in a hotel for 2 weeks where she was being prepped, and the channel thought that they had given her everything she needed to come out and ask him all the tough questions. But really, at the end of the day, they didn't prepare her well enough, because I would hope that if she had, because she's young, I would like to hope that if she had been given a chance to speak her own mind.
But why did
she
pick her?
Call him out? She did call him out to tell him
that he did not win
the election, and that it wasn't stolen.
She never had hope in hell, really.
She didn't. God, after she told him that the election was not stolen, every other thing she asked him was a softball.
Mm-hmm.
She had the opportunity to say, you know, one of the questions was, do you feel you owe Mike Pence an apology? And he was like, for what? She should have just said, because your people went there and erected a gallows and were wandering through the halls saying, yeah. Hey, Mike Pence, you know, did you ever think maybe you should have called him on the phone and been like, you know what, maybe you should get out? No,
yeah, it wouldn't have lasted
there
long.
Were any number of things that, yes, I know, but you know what? I'd have had more respect for her if she got him to walk out.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least then I would have known she challenged him.
Yeah, she wasn't prepared, was she? I mean, as you say, no, 2 weeks in a hotel doesn't cut. You know,
2 weeks in a hotel?
20 years in a broadcast organization is a lot more than 2 weeks in a hotel. Absolute disgrace that they picked her.
Two
they should
weeks
have got a heavyweight.
Against somebody who still had a number of pseudonyms that he would call up other magazines and pretend to be his own press secretary, someone who still draws handprints of his own hands in gold Sharpies and mails them to reporters who have criticized the size of his hands after 20-some years.
Throws toilet paper at people during the pandemic.
That woman never stood a chance, and he did that on purpose.
Well, it's a disgrace on behalf of CNN. Ronan, you mentioned, I think it was you who mentioned Anderson Cooper, who is, you know, the gold star of CNN.
He'd never want him.
What they did was they grabbed him by the scruff of his neck and put him on a chair and said, talk to the camera and justify CNN.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to take an audio grab of some of how Anderson Cooper tried to justify this thing. Take a listen.
Good evening. Before we begin with tonight's broadcast, I want to say something about what we witnessed at last night's town hall. Many of you have expressed deep anger and disappointment. Many of you are upset that someone who attempted to destroy our democracy was invited to sit on a stage in front of a crowd of Republican voters to answer questions and predictably continued to spew lie after lie after lie. And I get it. It was disturbing. It was disturbing to see and hear that person refer to a black law enforcement officer as a thug, an adjective he used many times to describe black men, and call Caitlin Collins, the moderator, nasty, which is what he calls any woman who stands up to him. It was disturbing to hear him speak so highly of QAnon conspirators and insurrectionists who assaulted police officers in our democracy on January 6th. And it was awful to hear him spread ridiculous lies about the election. And it was certainly disturbing to hear that audience, young and old, our fellow citizens, people who love their kids and go to church, laugh and applaud his lies and his continued defamation of a woman who, according to a jury of his peers, he sexually abused and defamed. And that audience that upset you, that's a sampling of about half the country. They are your family members, your neighbors, and they are voting. And many said they're voting for him. Now, maybe you haven't been paying attention to him since he left office. Maybe you've been enjoying not hearing from him, thinking it can't happen again. Some investigation is going to stop him. Well, it hasn't so far. So if last night showed anything, it showed it can happen again. It is happening again.
Now, I think it was a bit unfair. Poor Anderson. Like, someone had to do it, and it had to be Anderson Cooper. I'm sure
he's the most recognized at this point face of the network.
Indeed.
And he's probably trusted face, really, of the network.
He also approximates a journalist pretty well. I mean, ordinarily, he does.
Approximates.
Approximates. He could retire now and live happily for the rest of his life. I mean, he's the son of Gloria Vanderbilt.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
A ton of money.
He's got the money.
Yeah, but you know
what?
You know
what,
Dawn?
He's got Vanderbilt money.
Dawn,
he will be richer than Roosevelt for the rest of his life. So will his kids.
Look, we were talking about Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo and their types. The thing about these people is they're ego-driven. They've already got the money, but they just want to keep their faces on the shows. They want to keep... It's an ego thing. It's nothing about money.
Then let him go to Bravo and do his New Year's Eve show with his friend that does Watch What Happens Live,
Andy Cohen.
Oh, he's great.
and just let CNN turn into Fox News 2.0.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, Anderson Cooper will not probably hang around if it goes too far to the right. I mean, he has his other gig on 60 Minutes on CBS. I mean, we've got to hand it to the guy. He works damn hard.
Wouldn't you think that NBC, MSNBC would love to have him?
All right, he could go to any of these networks. I don't think
he just doesn't want to. Yeah.
Yes, but he could very easily... just fully go to CBS and do 60 Minutes full time and just do hard hitting investigative journalism.
He likes doing hard hitting investigative journalism. He likes doing field reporting. You know, we all remember when the war started.
Whenever there's a disaster, he shows up in a black T-shirt and is looking buff and out there in the
stylish dresser. Yeah.
Well, maybe he should retire and look after his boyfriend and his baby.
There's years left in Anderson.
The one thing, though, that
can't happen again was last New Year's Eve where him and Andy Cohen were banned.
What happened?
Oh, they got banned from drinking.
They got really, really drunk on there.
Oh,
I heard something about that.
Andy Cohen was in the worst shape, and then
that was the year before, and then they said, "Well, we are having a repeat of that last New Year's Eve," and they were banned from touching a drop. You know, and it was stolen. So please do not do that again.
It was boring as heck.
Yeah.
So stinking boring.
They should have dropped that ball in his head.
Well, I think
go sit outside and wait to see which one of my neighbors is going to set their house on fire first. Let's see the fireworks.
I think the year before it got so out of hand that the Irish reporters, a guy, I think Henry from Kerry, got Dorney.
He's on CNN.
He's on CNN, but he got involved that evening on sort of a pub crawl and kept sending over pints of Guinness to Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen, and even himself got a fair bit intoxicated. And I thought when they looked at it, they said, well, this isn't really, from their perspective, the image that we want, and ban the alcohol. But
Andy Cohen came out and denounced the former mayor of New York.
I miss it. Kathy Griffin started that because she used to do it that every time she had like it was like the game show Password. She'd have a secret word that every time Anderson Cooper said a word, she'd give him a shot.
Oh my gosh.
I remember one year by like 10 p.m. he was just sloshed and she was still completely sober. She was just loving every minute of that because he was just giggling maniacally and it was delightful.
Okay, guys, we got to go because we're so out of time. I see Thomas is having another beer. Lucky you. I'm just about to.
The password was.
Okay, I'm out the door to get pissed myself. It's lovely having you all. That is Ronan Seagrave in Winnipeg, Canada, Dawn Trost in Orlando, Florida, and Thomas Booker in San Antonio de Bahia in Texas. Okay.
Yeah! Yeehaw!
Thank you.
I think I just woke up my dogs.
thanks for joining me here on Bondi Tunes International.
It's been a pleasure, y'all.
Thank you.
Hear your voice.
Great. Take care, everybody.
This is Bond iTunes International. This very, 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 very real radio.
Henry O'Donovan.